On today's episode of the Brado and Will Show, we have the preseason right around the corner. First game is tomorrow. So we have a Rockets mailbag. You know, we're taking questions from Twitter, and we're answering your guys' questions. So just stay tuned. A lot of good answers from Will and I, and you're going to really enjoy this episode. All right, and welcome back to the episode of the Brado and Will Show. I'm your first host, Will. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston, and now TikTok as well, at Bias Houston. Over there, we're doing a lot of the Rockets, Houston sports content aggregation, you know, keeping you up to date with everything Houston sports, particularly the Houston Rockets on those fronts. So tap into that, something you're interested in. And then I will quickly shout out the Brado and Will Show on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter as well. We really appreciate the support you guys have been showing us, and you know, the season about to start. So we're looking at running up this season. And with that, I'll pass it off to Brad.
Yeah, as always, y'all can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at BradoNBA. Favorite stats, highlights, I always got you guys covered. Season's coming up soon, so we're going to be in the Twitter spaces as well for the post game. So you definitely don't want to miss those. Always an exciting time. You come voice your thoughts, hear what we have to say. And if you're tuned in to the episode right now, make sure to subscribe. We appreciate you guys. Like we said, you know, we just hit 2,000. And, you know, we're trying to keep running it up. But, you know, as for today, the preseason is about to start. And we have a mailbag episode. We got questions from Twitter, and Will and I are excited to answer those today. So I'll pass it back off to Will and get us started with our first question.
You know, actually, one of the questions we want to talk about, too, really wasn't a specific question that one person asked. It was a couple people asked this question. I know a lot of people were wondering. I said on Twitter that the Rockets open practice was kind of mid this year, and a lot of people were kind of wondering what I meant when I said that. I want to say that I was not talking about the players or like the coaches or anything like that. Like the players looked fine. As a matter of fact, in like the warmups and the initial shooting drills, I don't think I saw Jabari miss a three, or like if he did, he did it when I wasn't paying attention, because every time I was looking at him, he was making every shot. So the guys look good. And I'll say one of like the positives that I did notice from this open practice, I did go to the previous. To my knowledge, they've only done three open practices, I think. And do you know, Bryce, was this the only thing?
I've been to two. And really quickly, I was supposed to fly down for this open practice from Atlanta, because I stay in Atlanta. And Will said, thank God you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Fly down. It would have been wasted. You would have wasted your money. I think they've only done them since Jalen Green's been a Houston Rocket, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, and I went to every single one. The first two, this is the third one. I went to all of them. And I'll say that like one positive that I did notice, or I maybe call it a positive, just something that was a little bit different this year that probably sways more in the good side than the bad. Coach Ime Udoka was running the practice this time. And like this not a slight at Steven Silas or anything like that, because bro, it's open practice, who cares? But like, no, like he was involved. He held the mic. He was the one calling out the drill, telling guys what to do. And it wasn't, obviously he wasn't the same as he would be, I guess, in a real practice. But he was on some, oh, yeah, Jabari, you know, here, knock that one down. You know what I'm saying? He was calling stuff out. He was very much involved in the practice this year. I think that kind of goes to show how involved he is with the team and with this fan base now. Like, that is our head coach moving forward. So I thought that was really cool and really unique to see. I think that's kind of where the positive stopped for me. I think that, like I said, the problem was not the players. It wasn't the coaches. It was nothing like that. It was the actual event itself that was the problem. Like I say, if you go to, like, they probably shouldn't even call it open practice, if we're being honest. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if that's what they still call it, but a more apt description or like title for what it is, it's a fan fest. It's not a practice. I remember when I first went that first year, I was expecting somewhat more of a structured practice. It's not that. You know, it's more of, they're going to have the cheerleaders come out, they're going to have the power dancers and the break crew. They're going to, you know, sell you jerseys. They usually have like a some sort of like merch that drops alongside with it. Like, remember they had
merch this year, right? I think I saw they had some. They didn't sell it?
If they did, it wasn't like it was last time.
Last year it was well advertised.
Yeah, I would say, because, yeah, no, I didn't see nobody with them. There was no line for it. But I said, like, usually it's some sort of merch you can buy to the side. Of course, the team shop is open, so you can buy the jerseys. It's more of like a fan appreciation. It's like a pep rally, honestly. That's probably the best way I could describe it, is to get you excited for the season. So if you were, you know, someone like me who, man, I would love to like just sit in on an actual practice and watch sets and you know, watch guys you know, work on their games, but that's not what that is. And that's fine. Like, that's not that the problem isn't that it's not an actual practice. Like, so I knew that going into this year, after my first experience, I knew that's what it was. It was an actual practice. So that wasn't the issue for me. The issue was just like, they didn't do anything this year. Like, it was like we walked in, Brad, sat down.
That was out.
We were out in 30 minutes. Udoka gave us a little speech with Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. They gave a little like pregame. Oh yeah, we're gonna play hard this year. Defense is gonna be, you know, at the forefront. You know, just kind of the same thing we've been hearing a bunch. So he gave his speech. The players came. Well, actually, I think the cheerleaders did do a little something beforehand, but whatever. No, respectfully, I don't really care for that. But the players came out. They did, you know, the little pregame warm-ups. They was out there just shooting threes, you know, warm-up dunks, warm-up layups, you know, the same thing that you would get if you were to watch an actual like warm-up, I guess. And then they ran like a layup drill where on your way back down the court, you shot a three or like a pull-up mid-range shot. They ran at me like 3-4 times. They did like some sort of shooting contest where they shot at different spots on the floor against the another team on the other end of the court. So it was kind of like a team versus team kind of thing. First team to hit X amount of jumpers won for that particular round. They did that, I think, like 3-4 times, and then that was it. We went home, and we were just like, wait, that's it? That's all we get? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, last year, there was a little bit more to it. There was a scrimmage. Oh, no, take it back. No, there was a dance contest. Let me backtrack. There was a dance contest because the only person who really danced from the rookies was Cam. And then they had Dylan Brooks come and, you know, do a little dance. Y'all probably saw on Twitter. If you watched that dance on Twitter, that was pretty much the only thing that you would have, I guess, missed out on by being at open practice, was seeing that dance in person. That was really the only memorable moment to me. So, yeah, I don't know. It was kind of disappointing that, you know, like I said, there's nothing else that really wasn't even a scrimmage, which, by the way, like, it wouldn't even be a real scrimmage. It's going to be like an all-star game with even less intensity. It was just a bunch of threes and dunks, and they didn't even do that this year. I was like, ah, man, like, we waited more time in line, and probably the same amount of time it took me to leave that parking garage, everybody leaving at the same time, than I did in the actual event itself. So, yeah, it was a waste of time, man. If you stayed at home and watched the Texans, you made the right decision.
That's what I would have done. I would have been watching the Texans anyway. Close loss, but it's all good. But what's our first question for today, Will?
All right, first actual question. We got, hold on, here we go. We're going to have them pull up on the screen. And if you guys want to, you know, follow the people who ask these questions at home, I have their @ tagged. I'll read it out loud as well so y'all can, you know, follow them at home. Thank you guys for submitting questions. We had a bunch of submissions, and these are like the best of those submissions. So I really appreciate you guys for helping us, you know, put this episode together. But the first question I thought was a really good one. It's from my man Aaron PKP on Twitter. He says, what are some challenges our squad is in front of them that casual fans might be missing or underestimating? I will let Brad take this one.
First off, shout out Aaron, good friend of the show. But, you know, for this one, I'm sure fans won't miss this one. But obviously, you know, some challenges the squad, you know, has is obviously going to be shooting. They didn't really address it. I mean, you brought in a guy, Fred VanVleet, who can shoot. But last year he had a down year in shooting. And again, you know, I've said on the show plenty of times, but going into this upcoming season, Tari Eason has the best shooting percentage from three out of everybody on the roster this past season on 34.3%. Now, I will say I do expect a lot of these guys to improve. Udoka has said under better situations, these three-point percentages will increase. And obviously, you have a guy like Ben Sullivan coming in that'll help three-point shooting as well. Now, I would say something that a casual fan might miss. I don't know if a fan would miss this, but to me, you know, they did try to bring in Brooke Lopez for a reason because the Rockets wanted interior defense, right? Like, they obviously didn't get Brooke Lopez, but they got in a guy like Jock Landale. But even then, they could struggle against centers this upcoming season. My guy Alperen Şengün, who we obviously love, he's been putting a lot of work this off season on defense. So I'm trying to see how he comes out this upcoming year. But based off of last season, that could be an issue, interior defense. So I'm interested to see, you know, how they do on that front. But those would be the two main issues that I would see. I think another one, a new team, it's obviously, I don't know if they're going to just come out the gate, you know, on fire. You know, Boston, when Udoka was coaching them, they started really slow. I've said this on the show as well. But that was a team that started off really slow, around 500 for the first half of the season. Then they kicked it into high gear and finished 28-7. So not expecting the hottest start from this Rockets team. And they're obviously no Boston, who started, you know, 500 and ended up going to the NBA Finals. So Expectations aren't the highest to start the season, but by the end of the year, I think they're going to hit a groove. But that would be a challenge, I would say. A slow start, but you know they'll catch their groove later.
I think that's what I was going to say, is more of the transition from the Steven Silas era offense, or not, I guess I wouldn't say offense and defense, just that entire experience where there wasn't that much structure. There wasn't any expectations. It was just go out there and hoop and go home at night. I think that there were some habits that were built through those 2 years, or for some, Tay was under Steven Silas for 3 years, right? I think he's the only guy who was on that 2021 team.
Yeah, so he's now the only player from those 30.
He's the longest tenure Rocket now, I believe. Yeah,
he's the only one. Yeah.
So yeah, like for everybody else, it would be what 2 years. Some Jabari and Tari would be one. I do think you develop some bad habits. John Wall came out and said like some of the stuff they were doing in practices just would not fly in the NBA at all. And I don't really know what all he meant by that, but I am assuming that there probably are some bad habits that were developed, some things that need to be ironed out, some adjustments that's going to be made, you know, to get out of that old mentality, that old, you know, the way things were ran in the past. And while I do have pretty high expectations for the Rockets this year, I do think initially they will struggle a little bit. I'm not necessarily saying like they're going to lose a bunch of games, but I do think that the product we're going to get at the end of the season is going to look significantly better than the product we're going to get week one. And I think it's going to be because by then they would have had the time to kind of iron out those bad habits and those adjustments. Like they could make those adjustments by then. And so going into like that the end of the season, they're more closer to the product that I think Udoka wants to actually run with this team. But like I said, I don't think that they're going to like start the season like we did last year. Like I think they're going to still be a very competitive team, you know, no matter who they play every single night. So, but yeah, that would probably be my biggest, underestimation. It's just, I think some of us expect them to come out the season guns blazing. And if they don't, that kind of won't be alarming to me. It would kind of be what I expected, honestly. So, unless Brad has anything else you want to add to that, we can move on to the next question.
You put that perfectly. They could come out, you know, swinging on all cylinders, but again, it's not an immediate expectation. You know, it's going to take some time, in my opinion. If they don't, then great.
It would be more concerning if they didn't do it at the end of the season than if they didn't do it when it started. So, is what it is. But yeah, on the next question, this one comes from my brother Kaz at Kaz NBA. You can here's the question right here. It says, "What's the plan of action if Amin Thompson is ahead of schedule?" I'll go first this time.
Go ahead. Yeah.
If Amin Thompson's ahead of schedule, which I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility, I think there's a real chance this guy is like legit from day one. We saw what he did in summer league, and it was just one game, so it wasn't the best sample size. But in that one game, my humble opinion, he looked like the best player for both teams, and he looked like somebody who had been in the league for like you wouldn't think that was his first time around an NBA, like it wasn't even an NBA team, but like just an NBA experience. You know what I'm saying? Like the way he conducted himself, the way he composed himself, the way he was imposing his will in the game. Like that's not the way you would expect someone, you know, who's just getting their feet wet to perform. Mind you, it was summer league. So, you know, you can only draw some conclusions from it, but it was very impressive. I think that, you know, there's a real world where we're like, month or two in, we're like, yeah, this guy Amin Thompson is like he's a little bit too good to just be, you know, come off the bench. I do think it's gonna be very tough because Fred VanVleet is someone who we obviously invested a lot into in terms of money this offseason, and I mean he's already kind of paying dividends with that, with what he's bringing to the team in terms of leadership. And so I do believe that Fred's starting point guard spot, so long as he's healthy, is safe. I don't think there's gonna be any scenario where Fred VanVleet comes off the bench this season. I think like the point guard position is Fred's for the rest of the season. I think the soonest we'll see Amin take that is if he takes that leap this year, and then the offseason, the organization's like, yeah, no, we got to start this guy. So like, you know, Fred, we might got to either redefine your role or send you somewhere else because like new guy is ready. But I don't think that's gonna happen before this offseason, if it ever happens, honestly. So I think the only way for Amin to start if he is like this guy would be at the three, but then it also gets difficult because you got Dylan Brooks there who you obviously, you know, Udoka kind of really, really wanted that guy. So I don't know. It's going to be tough. Maybe he breaks through at the small forward spot, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't bank on it. I think the way that he gets starting minutes, is if somebody, or I think it's if two things happen and neither of them we should be hoping happen. One of them is if Fred gets hurt and then Amin has to take over. And I think the second one is if it's like the last like month and a half and we're so far out the play-in tournament, or like we're not even in the race, that we're like, let's just tank. And so they sit Fred down then, which, like I said, I think either scenario is not one that we should be rooting for. So I think that Amin might be stuck on the bench this year, which, like I said, isn't a problem. That's not a bad thing, but I think he might be stuck.
Yeah, if Amin is ahead of schedule, which I expect, to be honest, I think that jump shot is going to come along pretty well. Ime Udoka said, you know, that this guy, Amin Thompson, was standing out in training camp. It doesn't surprise anybody.
Not to cut you off, but you seen that step back he hit,
you
bro.
Seen over the step back. He was throwing the dimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like that. It wasn't just OTE. That was the concern. Who's at OTE? He did it in the summer league. He did it in training camp. Coach is giving him his props. He's going to come out. He's going to look really good. But what's going to happen, I think we'll put it on the money. The real question is going to be, what do they do with Fred VanVleet, you know, when Amin is, you know, ready? You know, they put him on that team option for a reason. And, you know, my answer now is probably different than it was in July when they signed him to the team option. But Fred VanVleet has already shown to be a huge impact on this Rockets roster. That could be a guy they just keep around by, you know, year three when, you know, hey, you know, Amin is ready to be starting, so we're going to start him. But let's keep Fred on this team because he makes a huge impact. That's a lot of money to be coming off the bench. I could be crazy for saying Fred wants to come off the bench for that much money.
He don't want to come off the bench.
yeah. But the Rockets, he's team option. They may want him around just because, and they maybe trade him if they want to grant Fred's wish. But if Amin is ahead of schedule, I think Will has it right. He probably won't start until this upcoming season. For this year, though, if he is ahead of schedule, you just bump his minutes to 30. I don't care what anything. Make it happen. Give him 30 a night. You're trying to make the playoffs, play the best guys. Amin, in my opinion, is going to be one of the best guys. Give him 30. Make it happen. If you got to condense it to 9, condense it to 9. I don't want to hear no excuses. Let that man play the 3, the 1, the 2. If you got to play the 4, make him play the 4. I don't care. If he needs to play 30, he needs to play 30. Because at the end of the day, again, the IQ, the instincts, as Udoka said, the defensive ability, the switch ability, those are things that, you know, are conductive to winning basketball games. And Amin Thompson, if he's ahead of schedule, needs to play as much as possible. And he's the future of this franchise as well, along with Jalen Green and Jabari, and Shangun as well. But yeah. So that'd be my answer. Just play him as much as possible. 30 minutes.
We can move on to the next question. The next one comes from at Biggie Houston. Shout out Biggie as well. We've had him on the show, so yeah, friend of the show as well. Shout out Biggie. What are you expecting from Dylan Brooks this year? And I guess I'll let you take that one first.
I'll take this one because coming in. End of the season, I'm like, I don't want Dylan Brooks on this team. But then I did some research, and I said, okay. I came around to Dylan Brooks, and I was telling my guy Will about it, and he was like, I don't know. But what I'm expecting from Dylan Brooks is what I expected before they even signed him. You know, he's going to come on to a roster that has a lot of defensive dogs already with, you know, Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason, now Amin Thompson. And he's going to really ignite all of them to have them playing, you know, really good basketball on the defensive end. Not only is he extremely good, second team all defense, really good perimeter defender. He likes to call himself the best perimeter defender in the world. Guys like Tari and Jabari want to say that for themselves as well. But having a guy to lead by example is going to help, you know, Jabari and Tari that much more. So I'm expecting him to be a leader, a good leader for those young guys on the roster who want to take that leap defensively. But on the court, I'm expecting him to be really good defensively. Obviously, that intensity is going to be there. He's going to be getting under other guys' skins. I'd assume he's probably going to rack up a ton of fouls. I don't know how much he will play just because he plays with that high intensity. But what everyone's concerned about is the shot chucking. The Rockets gave this man $22 million a year, with that $1 million incentive. $1 million incentive to make the playoffs. So in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, they gave this man all this money. No one else was offering that much. They gave him a playoff incentive to come buy into what we want you to do. So at the end of the day, you're making your money, so just buy into what we have. And to me, that means he's not going to be going out there chunking up as many shots as he wants. He's going to be doing whatever it takes to get this team to the playoffs. And that's playing defense and playing within his role because he knows what he brings to the basketball court. I know it's not a direct translation, but I really loved how he looked in FIBA this year with Canada. He wasn't chucking a lot of shots. He was playing extremely good defense. And that's going to be perfect for this Rockets basketball team. That's what I'm ultimately expecting. I'm not expecting him to go out there and just take a whole bunch of bad shots and bad middies. Udoka's already said he doesn't want Jalen taking those bad middies. So I'm pretty sure he doesn't want Dylan Brooks taking those bad middies as well. So I'm expecting him to be a really good piece to this team. You know, off rip, the fan base hated the signing. I think he's going to be a fan favorite by year's end. This is like a Patrick Beverley. You hate him if he's not on your team, but you love him to death if he's on your roster. And I guarantee you, more than 95% of these fans are going to love Dylan Brooks by the season's over, by the time the season's over.
My expectations, first and foremost, are to keep doing what he's doing in terms of getting in the ears of Jabari Smith and Tari Eason. And I mean, hopefully Cam Whitmore gets involved in that some degree, maybe even a bit of Amen Thompson as well. Just the guys who are, we're going to expect him to take, steps forward and be kind of the faces of this team in terms of the defensive end. I hope that he's able to communicate and break through with him, and he just soak up as much of what he's been able to do that makes him so successful as a defender in this league so far. Because you can say what you want to say about him, offensively or in the playoffs, but the one thing that I think even the biggest Dylan Brooks denier can't say is that he's like not an elite defender. That guy is, he's really good at that. And he's been able to do it, on several stages for X amount of time now. If Tari Eason can become the defender that Dylan Brooks is, especially with how much we believe in his ability to, one day, be able to space the floor, and then maybe do something else, in between those lines as well. I think that makes a great player. Obviously, Jabari, we're expecting him to be a monster from beyond the arc, and he's starting to expand his game in the post mid-range area. So once again, if he's able to soak up that defensive knowledge and then put that into his own game, those are two players right there you're talking about two monsters defensively if they're able to just absorb what Dylan Brooks is able to bring to the table. So I'm hoping that he continues to bring that to the team. And then the last thing for me is I want it to be annoying. I was hoping that to the fans, but to the opposing team. Like I want people to be like, man, we had to play Dylan Brooks tonight. Like there was a you talked about Patrick Beverley. I remember when Lonzo Ball first got drafted, they played the Clippers, I believe, opening night.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, man, Lonzo got to play Patrick Beverley tonight. Like that's how I want it to be with Dylan. Like, ah, man, my rookie got to play Dylan Brooks tonight, man. Like, I hope he ain't out there trying no nonsense. What I'm saying? Whatever. Like, I want him to be. I don't want him to be hated, but I do want him to be like, I don't want no one to be looking forward to playing Dylan Brooks. You should be like, ah, crap, we got Brooks on our schedule tonight. That's kind of what I want from him, and I expect it from him as well. Like, he already kind of has that resume. He already has that that reputation around the league as an annoying, character on the defensive end. So yeah, I hope he continues to bring that energy to the table and set that culture for us. We did see him dancing, and it seemed like his teammates love him already. So yeah, let's bring it. If there's nothing else, we can move on to the next question.
I'll say one more thing. Hopefully that 3-point percentage improves. Again, he's known for being not the best 3-point shooter, but again, Ben Sullivan coming in, better shot selections, hopefully, and hopefully we see an increase there.
Ben Sullivan has already been working miracles with Amen Thompson, so.
Yeah, man, he's a guy,
Form already looks better. But all right, on to the next question. So this came from a Kings fan, he's Sacktown Tank. He says, who has the most to prove this year? Yeah, that's a really good question, player or coach? I'll go first this time. Yeah, this is a really good question.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has the most to prove this season? I do think that there's a lot of guys on this team who have a lot to do in terms of changing the narrative around them. I think Udoka has something to prove. People say, what he did with Boston was a fluke. He was just 1 year. He's just, he was a Brad Stevens merchant. He really wasn't doing nothing. So I think Udoka has something to prove. I think Şengün has something to prove in terms of, people have been I don't know, man. I'm going to defend the guy who plays on my team. I think Şengün's going to be a top 10 center this year, but some people say that's too much for him. People say his defense is never going to work, so I think he has something to say. But I think the person with the most to prove, it has to be Jalen for me. I think he is. He's the franchise player, the number two overall pick. From the moment he was drafted, it was, this is your team one day, right? We're going to groom you. We're going to prepare you because one of these days, we want you to be the guy who leads us to the promised land. And we talk about it all the time, but year three is like, I don't want to say it's a make or break year, but it's the closest thing you can get to a make or break year without it actually being like, this is it for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is one of the most important years of his career. He needs to take a leap this year. Because if it's more or less the same thing we've seen from his first two seasons, especially considering like we have rightly so been excusing some of the things that's been going on with him because he wasn't in the right situation. That's not really an excuse no more, right? He has vets. He has a coach. You know what I'm saying? They have all the facilities in place for him to succeed this year. So it's kind of just on him to go out there and do it. And I believe he can. I believe he can and will do it. I think this is the year where he inserts himself into those. He may not be a top five shooting guard. I went through that list earlier today. And it's some tough names up there. But I think that he's going to, like, at least make it to where you're like, yeah, he's going to be there, like, as soon as next year. Like, next season, he's going to be, without question, top five shooting guard. I think that that's the type of season we need to expect from him. We need to expect him to step up defensively, step up in terms of being a leader, step up in terms of, you know, just all around his all-around game. I think he needs to continue to improve in that department. Like I said, I think he will. But, yeah, when your expectations – are to be the franchise guy, not just like, cause we love Jabari, we love Shingun, but those guys they're not looked at as this is the guy. Jalen is the guy. You know, when you look at all the advertisements, when you look at when you go to Toyota Center, the main face you see, the last guy who comes out and on the promotions on the Jumbotron is Jalen. This is his team. So like, now it's time for you to show us that this is like that all this we've been investing in, you know, all this belief we have in you wasn't for nothing. Like, now you can actually, like, you're up for the task. Not saying he needs to lead us to the playoffs this year, but no, he needs to take a step in that direction where it's like, yeah, this he's gonna be one of them ones eventually. So, I think the answer is Jalen.
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly. I mean, of course, if you want something to prove something, you want Shingun to prove something defensively. But outside of that, I mean, it really has to be Jalen. I mean, you said it perfectly. Like, this is the franchise player. This is a guy who's supposed to, you know, replace James Harden at the shooting guard position, you know, get these guys in the right position to win a championship. At the end of the day, he was the first guy selected as the franchise cornerstone. So he has the keys to the franchise. This is a guy, in my opinion, they drafted him to be a perennial, you know, scoring champion. But not only that, you know, that scoring will get there eventually. I'm expecting it to take a leap this year, but he's also got to be an all-around player, as Ime Udoka has preached. They don't want him to just score. They want him to do everything. So that year three, you know, as you said, is the year for you to take that, you know, that jump. You know, Anthony Edwards did it. Now it's time for Jalen Green to do it. You know, Jalen, you know, from day one this offseason has been working with his performance coach, the same one who Fred VanVleet has been working with as well, with deceleration, you know, working on preventing himself from getting injured. He's been working with Mike Hill. His basketball trainer. He's been training with other NBA all-stars, you know, Kevin Durant, amongst a lot of other guys. Jalen, in my opinion, is going to be ready to take that leap this year. So he does have the most approved. He has to lose that non-winning player narrative. He has to lose that, oh, I'm only going to show effort on one side of the ball, you know, lollygagging, not showing, you know, the most effort. So, yes, Jalen has the most approved this year. I'm not worried about him. I'm not going to say, oh, man, like, I don't know if Jalen can make that leap. I think he can. You know, he's shown those flashes. He was in a terribly structured team since he's been drafted into the NBA, and I'm happy with the flashes I've seen in that time. But there's been some ugly times defensively, and that's got to be cleaned up. And, again, you know, having those vets who've had that championship experience, like Jeff Green and Fred VanVleet, a coach who's extremely good, Ime Udoka, good assistant coaches, all in Jalen's ear, you know, I think Jalen's going to be able to take that leap, and he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. So that's what I'm honestly most excited about this upcoming season. But, yeah.
Before we move, I'm not going to take too long so we can get to the next question. But I do think that another name who maybe next to Shingun has left the group, I think Jabari does too. Right?
Yeah,
Jabari,
I was about to say that.
He has to shift back this year in terms of being able to space the floor and you know, his defense needed some improvements. And I do believe the defensive improvements are coming with, you know, his frame developing and him, you know, being a little bit more experienced. But like, let me go on record and say, I believe Jabari will shake back. I do think that he's going to be a lot closer to what we thought we were getting when we drafted him last year. But, you know, knock on wood, let's say that he doesn't, or not even say he doesn't. I don't think people understand how historic a Jabari shakeback would be if he does. Like, it would almost have never been done before. So once again, I do believe he's going to do it. I'm not concerned at all, but like, in terms of having lots of approval, I think Jabari is up there. So yeah, I will move on to the next question. This one comes from 936 player. He says, how much improvement should Sengun show defensively? And if the improvements are not there, what should the Knicks move be? This is a great question for Brad to take.
I'll take it. Yeah. So how much improvement should Sengun show defensively? In my opinion, none of us are expecting this man, Alperen Sengun, to be an elite defender. I just don't expect it. But I can see him being a serviceable defender. And coaching staff, you know, helps a lot with that. We had a guy, Steven Silas, who played Alperen Sengun continuously in drop coverage. And LP has said on record he does not really like playing drop coverage. He's never really played it before. And he did struggle with it. He knows that. And it led to him being benched a ton because the defense just wasn't there and they kept running him a drop. And wasn't really many coaching adjustments there. So I'm interested to see how he looks, you know, with a defensive-minded coach who will, you know, use him the right way. And in that scenario, hopefully he's serviceable. So that's where that improvement should show. You know, Sengun obviously, he said on our show, he's been focusing on his body, you know, getting quicker, his lower body. He wants to be better defensively. So he needs to, you know, improve on that end. He knows that, and I'm expecting him to improve on that end. But I still do think that he's not the worst defender in the world. You know, he's not just what he's made out to be. He was a below-average defender this past season, but one of three players in the league this past year to have 70 blocks and 70 steals. And with a better coach, we can see a lot more of those flashes. This guy can get up there and pin some shots now. Chase down, he's pinning you. He's quick with his hands and get a lot of steals. But again, there needs to be improvement defensively, and I think he'll be able to show that with a better coach. Again, I'm not expecting elite, but I'm hoping that there is improvement and that he's serviceable. That's what he needs to show. But if those improvements aren't there, it's probably, you know, what should the next move be? Again, if we're just talking about this season right now, if it's not this season, what's the next move? I mean, again, you almost play him like you did last year. I'm expecting that leap on offense to continuously grow. But if the defense isn't there, you just got to bench him at the end of the day. If you're trying to win a game and he's hurting you that much, then you got to do what you got to do. If it's really, like, if he's not a net positive offensively and defensively, and you know what I'm saying, the defense is that bad, then you just got to bench him. Go small ball five with Jabari, throw in Jack Landau, who's, you know, known for taking minutes from DeAndre Ayton and Phoenix for being a good defender. I mean, that would sadly be the next move. I hope that's not the case. I don't think that will be the case. But if he's hurting you that much, you really got to take him out in crunch time if you can't get a stop.
I don't even think I need to comment more on it. I think you that was the answer right there. So we can move on to the next one.
All right, there you go.
We kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. Someone says, will anyone play their way into the starting lineup at Gorman, Kristoff? Yeah. And like I said earlier, bro, I think it's going to be very, very tough.
It's gonna be tough.
Simply because, like I said, I don't think that anyone is taking Fred's spot at the starting point guard. I, you know, especially now that KPJ is on the roster, and you don't talk about that being an open contest by the shooting guard position. It's not really any competition anymore. So I think there's, you know, like, matter of fact, I think Jalen is probably the only real shooting guard on the roster. So and he's the franchise player. He probably should be the best player on the team this year. Hopefully. Don't think he was taking his spot. Yeah. I would be quite shocked, I guess, if Dylan Brooks lost his spot, just because, like I said, Udoka was really, really pushing for the Rockets to sign him. That was a guy who he really wanted on this roster. And it would just shock me if that's the guy who ends up losing his job. I take it back. I could see if Jabari, and once again, knocking on wood here, because I believe he's going to bounce back, and I'm not rooting for that guy to fail in any capacity. But if second year Jabari is just slightly improved, rookie year Jabari, and then Tari is still taking those necessary progressions. I think Tari had a better rookie season than Jabari did. If that's the case, and it's a true meritocracy, and it's best man gets the spot, okay, would not shock me if Tari Eason becomes the starting power forward for this team, if that's where we're going to go. But even then, I still think Jabari got on lock. I think he's going to shake back this year. I think he's going to be closer to what we were expecting last year. I think he's safe. And then I pray that Sengun is not displaced because of whatever he leaves on the table defensively. Like, that would hurt me if that was the case. But I do believe that he is the best center on this roster, and like, it's not really close. I think everybody's job is safe for the most part, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'll keep that one quick as well. Obviously, you know, Fred's not losing his spot. Jalen's obviously not losing his spot. Dylan Brooks would be the one guy, casual fan, would be like, oh, he can lose his spot. No, Dylan, he's coming in to lock up the best player on the other team. He's not losing his spot. Jabari would be the only guy, hypothetically. But even him, he's not losing his spot to Tari Eason. And that's not shade to Tari Eason. I think Tari Eason's going to be one of the best six men in the NBA for a long time.
You think he's going to be a six man forever?
I think not forever. You know, he could eventually take Dylan's spot. Tari's nice. I'm very high on Tari Eason. No, I love that guy. Like, extremely high floor, as we said before in a previous podcast. But I don't think he's going to take Jabari's spot. I think Jabari's going to improve a lot. And then what we said with Alperen Sengun, he's not losing his spot. So I don't think anyone can play their way into the starting lineup. Only time you see someone inserted is through an injury. But, I mean, that's not the point of your question. So, yeah, my answer would be no. But, yeah, we can hit the next question.
Which lineup closes games? Is my man Bob Skull 21. Yeah, bro, what you think? Who closes the games?
I'll take this one. It should be played off of situationals. You know, at the end of a game, every game is going to be different. Matchups are going to be different. If somebody's hot off the bench, so they have 30 points, say Tari Eason's cooking with 25, when you have your set five of who closes the game, that's not right. You know, you got to play who's hot at the end of the day. So that would be my answer. There should never be a set five who closes the game. But, yeah, you just ride the hot hand. And, you know, based off of that 48-minute basketball game, you decide who finishes out that, you know, that last five. That would be my answer.
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think that I guess your default closing lineup would just be your starters, right? That's right. Probably our best five in theory. But I agree with Brad. I don't think that, you know, I think one of the biggest issues with like the Mike D'Antoni Rockets was that there were no adjustments. There was no in-game switches or changes. It was just the same thing every single time. And so this year, I do hope that when different situations present themselves, that we react accordingly. There might be times where we want to start like Jabari at the five and, you know, bring Sengun. You know, I say bring him off the bench, but, you know, he may not close because we see it's more advantageous to have Jabari at the five. Or maybe we need a little bit more help in the ball handling department. So maybe we send Dylan Brooks to the bench for that closing lineup and insert him in Thompson there. You know, I just hope that we don't marry ourselves to a certain rotation or a certain lineup, that we allow things to be fluid and, you know, make the necessary adjustments to, you know, be the most successful. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%, Brad.
That's a good answer.
Move on to the next question. All right, cool. Let's move to the next question. Next question, we start kind of wrapping up here. It says, what side of the ball will the Rockets improve on out of the gate? Let me see. I'll take this. Out of the gate, what will they improve on them? I think the energy and effort will be better. I'm not going to say that they'll be a better shooting team from game one, but I do think that the defense is going to be a lot better because the effort's going to be a lot better. I think guys are going to be trying out. One, there's also more – there's a lot less negative defenders, and there's a lot more, like, actually some positive guys defensively now. So I do think that's going to be the case. And then, like I said, above everything else, they have defensive expectations. They have I assume they're being taught how to play defense at an NBA level, which is something I don't know if they've been taught in the past. So yeah, between those couple of changes, you know, now that Udoka, who's a more defensive minded head coach, and we know what he brings to the table in terms of accountability and getting the best and the most out of guys, I don't think that poor defense is going to be acceptable anymore. And I think that it's going to be the expectation moving forward. So yeah, that'd be my answer to that one.
Yeah. Out the gate, I think they improve on both sides of the ball out the gate. But, you know, I want to touch on just how much improvement we're going to have offensively. You know, the ball handling, the playmaking, you know, the ball movement. These are things that have all been an issue these past 2 years in Houston. You know, some of these media guys had segments where they would count the amount of passes the Rockets would have on a possession, and they would start laughing and it was only one or zero. So I don't think that's going to be an issue anymore. No one's going to be laughing at us. Again, from the training camp footage we saw Fred VanVleet throw a half-court lob to Jalen. You know, things like that. The ball movement, you know, the ball's going to be moving. It's going to be moving. It's going to be moving. Again, another thing that Udoka improved these Boston Celtics on when he took over, he moved them from 25th to 2nd in hockey assists. And that means they're moving the ball. You know, they're moving the rock. That's what championship teams do. That's why I was excited initially to get this guy on the Rockets, because they were so bad at moving the ball. So, I mean, obviously the defense is going to improve. You pick up a good coach like that with Fred and Dylan to get in the ears of guys like Amen, you know, Jayshon Tate, you know, Tari and Bari. So defense is going to improve there. But I'm excited to look at, you know, that ball movement improve out the gate. So that's what I would say.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
This is another kind of quick hitter as we kind of wrap up. Teams we are looking forward to the Rockets matching up against is from our, I guess, it's at Yep Pay. I hope that I pronounced that properly.
Yep Pay. That's how you do
it. Yeah. So, Brad, who are you looking forward to watching the Rockets play this year?
Man, you know,
let me say this. I was saying, you know my answer, so don't even say it. You know what my answer is, so you got to come.
You know what's crazy? I should know your answer, and I don't.
You don't know my answer? I'm disappointed, co-host. I'm very disappointed.
I don't know. I'll probably say but for me, I'll say OKC. OKC is always one of those teams.
I said that wasn't what I was going to say, so you're good.
Yeah, I always say OKC because, you know, that's a team that's, you always say, similar timeline. I think they're a little bit ahead of us on the timeline, but I'm interested to see how they look against that team because I feel like in a few years, those are going to be two teams at the top of the Western Conference. So I'm looking to see how they match up against them. Not only them, I'm looking forward to see how they match up against, you know, guys within the division. How can they play against a team like Dallas? How can they match up against Luka Doncic, who's going to be in the division for a long time? The San Antonio Spurs, you know, that's their rival team. How they match up against them? Can they stand their ground against a 7'4" guy, you know, who's coming in from France? It's supposed to be the next big thing. Can they stand their ground against him? Can they improve overall? I would say last thing I would say is Detroit. You know, you got that Jalen and Cade matchup. That's going to be a new rivalry. And then you got the, you know, Amon playing Asar. So that's going to be really fun to watch. So those would be the three, I would say. The Pistons, I said four. The Pistons, you know, the Mavericks, the Spurs, and the Thunder would be the four teams I'm looking forward to seeing.
I think the easy answer, this wasn't what I was thinking, but the easy answer, I guess, would be the Spurs. You know, after Wendy kind of started up the rivalry again on lottery night, I think the easiest answer, goodness gracious, I'm watching this Spurs OKC game. Wimby just trucked shit, bro. Oh, my goodness. I'm watching in one finish. Good Lord. but, yeah, he's kind of started up the rivalry. So, yeah, that would be the easy answer. But the answer I didn't want you to take, it's the Warriors, bro. It's smoke with those guys. no matter what year we're rebuilding, we're not. We haven't beat them. I think since James Harden was here, I don't think we beat them in a while. So, yeah, like I need to see us. This is the year. I already have some money on us beating them. I think we played them what, game three. Put some money on the line. We're beating the Warriors this year, fellas. I don't know if it's gonna be once, two, three times, four times, but I'm guaranteeing that they're going down. Home opener, they're losing. We're winning
that
home opener.
That check guarantee.
Yep, I guarantee it. No Charles Barkley. We are winning that game. So that's the matchup I'm most excited to see. But then, yeah, the last two questions we got for y'all today. This is another good question. I think this is kind of apt to kind of close it off with is what is a successful season for the Rockets look like? I'll go first. For me, a successful season is obviously is growth, right? That's what you want to see. We're still, you know, a young team. A lot of the guys on this roster are still young. They're still in their first couple of years in the NBA. So obviously the first thing you want to see is that these guys improve and they're getting better. But unlike the last 2 years, growth isn't the end all be all for me. Like, I think that there is still like there's some expectations now. We are expecting to be more competitive, to win games. So just going out there and being better than we were yesterday isn't just enough now. Like, I'm going to need a little bit more than that. I don't want to put too much. Well, you know, I'll go ahead and spoil. The last question was bold predictions for the season. That was the very last question. So I'll go ahead and just do two for one here. My bold prediction is we're making the play-in tournament this year. I believe that we're going to be there between the year three leaps from Jalen and Shingun. We brought in Fred. I had my qualms with Dylan Brooks, but I think he's going to make us a better defensive team. Reggie Bullock kind of addressed some of the questions that KPJ left. You know, there's going to be opportunities to improve the team along the margins at the deadline. I'm going to say that we're going to be the 10th seed. Worst case scenario, we're the 10th seed this year with maybe even room for there to be a little bit more. My bold take is the play-in, and a successful season for me would just be as long as they are the entire season, they should be in the play-in hunt, right? Now, if they miss it by like one game, I'm not going to say the season was a failure. I'm not going to say, you know, fire Udoka or fire Stone because we needed 41 wins and we got 40. I'm not going to say that, right? But if it's like, what, March, April, and it's like, yeah, these guys aren't making it, like start tanking, that's I'm saying, okay, well, that's a failed season. That's a season where somebody may not have to get fired, but somebody has to be reassessed. I guess one of the young guys we believed in did not take a leap this year. So there's a bunch of questions that have to be answered if this team isn't, like I said, within like one or two games of the play-in tournament. So that's, to me, that's what a successful season looks like. And like I said, my bold take to end it all off is that we are going to make the play-in tournament this year. So Brad, you can wrap it up for us. What does a successful season look like for you when you kind of transition that, if it's the same thing, into your bold prediction for the season?
Yeah. Before I start, I just want to laugh because I just saw Chet get an M1 and he flashed his watch like he was Shedeur Sanders. So that was comedy. So I want to comment on that real quick. But successful season, you know, I've been saying it, you know, a few times this offseason. This team is going from 17 wins to 20 to 22. So now what's the jump look like? Successful season is obviously the playoffs. In my opinion, I'm happy with 35 to 40 wins and more if they get that. I don't know about that. I really don't know about that. But if they get more, then that's insane. But 35 would be my minimum for a successful season. Increasing 13 wins is a big jump. So to me, that's what a successful season looks like. Hopefully that results in play-in. More times than not. Will, you pulled the numbers for playoff play-in teams, like that 10th seed, the amount of wins that 10th seed had. Do you remember what that was off the top of your head?
I can find it for you.
And while you find it... Yeah, if 35 doesn't get them into the play-in, you know, that's all good. I'm just happy for that.
I got it whenever you're ready.
Yeah, go ahead. Then I'll continue.
So in 2020, it was 34 wins. But mind you, that was also a COVID-shortened season. I think they played 72 games that year.
Yeah, 72.
And then 2021 was also another COVID-shortened season. But they only played 72 games that year. So 2020 was 34. 2021 was 33. 2022 was back to 82 games, and that was 34. And then last year, the Thunder were the – and it's also in the Western Conference, by the way. The Thunder were the 10th seed, and they had 40 wins. So it's kind of fluctuated a lot. I think the average is like 36, kind of just doing the mental math somewhere in that ballpark. So, yeah, that's kind of what we should be hoping for.
Yes, yeah. So I'll say 35, in my opinion, is a successful season. There's a lot of good teams in this Western Conference. If you look at them, it seems impossible to the casual fan for the Rockets to even be in that mix. So a bold prediction, I won't say playing because you said it, even though I hope and pray they make it, and I think they can make it. I'll switch. I'll say Alperen Sengun emerges as, you know, one of them guys, one of those future guys who's going to be a star. I think he's going to get a lot of keys this season. Ime Udoka has said he wants to play through him. Our guy Lashard Binkley, one of the Rockets' credentialed reporters, said he looked like he was the best player in that training camp one of those days. We've seen it in the offseason when he's playing with Turkey. We've seen the flashes the past two seasons, and this kid is only 21. He's already all-time leader in assists for centers at his age, and it's only going to increase when he gets the ball more. If they can play through him and make him a serviceable defender, as we talked about earlier in this podcast, and that jump shot comes in, and that jump shot is coming in this season, he's going to be taking more of those because the Rockets don't want no two-in lineups. When that jump shot comes in, he's shooting without hesitating. That man becomes an issue immediately. He's already pump faking from three and getting people to jump, and he doesn't even take them. So he's just going to open the floor up so much more for himself. He's going to be a gauntlet on offense. So I think he emerges as a top like eight center, top seven, eight center in the NBA. And that would be my bold prediction. But, yeah, obviously the bold prediction should be playing. I hope and pray to make it. I'm excited for the season. We're about to be covering all these games coming up. Again, we're going to be in the Twitter spaces, so make sure to stay tuned there. And appreciate you guys who all, you know, asked us questions. We love doing these mailbags. It's the first time doing one since our very first Brad on Will episode. So, again, appreciate you guys in that front. But, yeah, that's all I got for this episode. Again, y'all know where to find me, Brad on NBA, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff. Excited for the season, man. Again, y'all got to tune into those Twitter spaces. And if you're still with us, make sure to subscribe. We're going to try to hit 3K soon, whenever that is. But love and appreciate the support you guys have been showing us.
I think Brad summarized it perfectly. Thank you guys for giving us the questions today. Really appreciate that. Thank you guys for the support you've been showing to the show this offseason. The season is back. Tune into the spaces. We're going to have episodes a lot more regularly on the channel. So make sure you guys continue to like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you guys want to see from the channel this season. If there's anything in particular that you're looking for, let us know.
Know in the comments. Let us know in the comments what y'all want to see. And we got y'all.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. And we will see y'all, if nothing else, next week with an episode. Might be a little bit sooner if this preseason game is something to talk about. So
yeah.
See y'all when we see y'all.